Our reading this morning is a single verse. We're taking this little run through this idea of holiness. We're trying to get ourselves off the idea that it's just about perfection and purity, because none of us are doing that anytime soon. We're trying to expand our view of what this is. So today it's all about peace, and Hebrews 12, verse 14 is our single verse, one line, and it says this: make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. That's it. That's our reading this morning. Peace is a rare bird, isn't it? We're now 2 years into the war between Russia and the Ukraine. 2 years. It has cost north of 144 billion euros. And that's just the bill for the EU. And there's no peace in sight. Israel and Palestine, of course, are catching up. They only started in October. But the Israeli situation shows us another complication of chasing peace. This is one of the most ancient and complex conflicts in history. From Sarah telling Abraham to send away Hagar and her child Ishmael, to the taking of the promised land, to the endless complexities of religion, culture, and the possession of holy sites in Jerusalem, it's enough to make your head spin. And no peace in sight. And then there's you and me. We know enough about the pursuit of peace in Northern Ireland. But it's in us too. The search for peace in your life is hard, isn't it? You can buy books. We're not going to sell them here, I don't think. But there are best-selling books on finding peace and meaning and inner calm. They're bestsellers. People are buying them. Here's a couple of them. I'll show you these. The Gifts of Imperfection, Let Go of Who You Think You're Supposed to Be and Embrace Who You Are by Brené Brown. Or The Miracle of Mindfulness, The Classic Guide by Thich Nhat Hanh. That's Buddhist, in case you're wondering. And then The Dalai Lama, this is an international bestseller. The Dalai Lama's Little Book of Inner Peace, The Essential Life and Teachings by His Holiness, calls himself that, the Dalai Lama. Let me tell you something true. None of these people, none of these books, or the other 20 on the bestseller list, have the first idea what peace really is. Not a clue. Let me also tell you a story about the Dalai Lama. Let this sink in for a moment. The Dalai Lama was in the U.S. visiting California. This was years ago. The organizing committee for the visit decided, we want to give the Dalai Lama an experience of our culture, our Californian experience. So they took him to Rodeo Drive. Do you know what Rodeo Drive is? Rodeo Drive is the shopping district in Beverly Hills. Yeah. Now, all the men just touched their wallets there. It's the home of Gucci and Louis Vuitton and all of that. Very exclusive, very elite. And they figured they'll just let old Dali loose for about an hour and a half, and then they'll meet up with him afterwards. Well, the Dalai Lama came back, and they were having their triple espressos and talking about the visit. And the Dalai Lama said, I want to thank you all just so much for this experience. I understand American culture so much better now. I saw so many things I wanted. I saw so many things that I wanted. Now, the old Dalai Lama can teach you about inner peace and contentment, but even he can't resist the pull of stuff. What chance do you have? Right? But like I said, he hasn't got the first idea what peace really is, because he hasn't read and he hasn't understood Hebrews 12:14. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. What do we do with a verse like this? When we know of the lack of peace in the world and in us, and what does this have to do with holiness? Well, we're told to keep the peace with everyone. But what is peace and who is everyone? There's a kind of peace out there that it's quiet and it's passive. It doesn't get involved in arguments and squabbles. To keep the peace like that is to be quiet and demure. It lets bygones be bygones. It's what some have called the peace of the graveyard. Ever noticed how peaceful graveyards are in cemeteries? But they're not peaceful in a good way. It can be the same in your home or with your friends, your family. Husbands and wives know this very well. We will not complain. We'll not make a fuss over something that's upset us. We'll just sigh, won't we? And we just get on with things and we pretend everything's fine. What Hebrews says here, folks, is different. Some versions say that it's not just keeping peace, but striving for it. Strive for peace. That's why it says make every effort. It's really about a kind of self-discipline, but it very much affects others. See, I can be self-disciplined all on my own, in my marriage, my relationship with my girls, in my work, but it wouldn't necessarily have to deal with anyone else. I could just internalize it. That's the bestseller version of peace. It's always inner peace. But our verse tells me that it's not just peace for me, it's peace for others. And I think everyone doesn't mean absolutely everyone, by the way. If this is a letter to the church, and it is, then I think everyone in the church is who's in mind. That's you and me. I'll come back to that. But look at that first line with me again. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone. It's effort. It's striving. It's a self-discipline for everyone in the church. So what does that look like? Well, I am going to cheat this morning. I'm going to take you back a couple of verses. It says, make every effort. Oh, hold on. I got this wrong. I'm going backwards. Hold on. Bear with me. Yeah, there it is. There it is. If we go back a couple of verses, it says, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. What a strange verse. That tells us to take care of the Christians around us. Making level paths is about making repairs to the road, the relationships, the road that we're all walking so that nobody stumbles or falls. And we're not talking, folks, about the ramps and the guardrails outside. We're talking spiritually here. And if we know our Bibles at all, we'll know we've heard this sort of talk before. Here's part of Romans 12. Same thing. If it's possible, as far as it's up to you, live at peace with everyone. That's a spiritual component. And that's peace, your peace, affecting others. See how it's not just me, it's not just you, it's always us. If you allow me to cheat by moving backwards a verse, I'm going to cheat again by going forwards a verse. In Hebrews 12, you can see the whole picture coming together. See that no one falls short of the grace of God, that no bitter roots grow up and cause trouble and defile many. I don't like that verse. It reminds me of the effort involved in peace. Suddenly, peace is a tricky business. The self-help books are looking in the wrong direction. We need to look at ourselves, but we also need to look at God's grace and each other. Folks, is that difficult? Yes, it is. Have we been good at this in the church? Not really. Are we forgetful of grace all the time? Listen, if you and I weren't selfish, then we wouldn't need this verse. We wouldn't need this kind of call to make an effort when it comes to peace with one another. So when I say keep the peace, I want you to feel the work involved in that. Let's take the reminder this morning and this week that engenders that. Maybe you have to say sorry to someone. Now, you won't look forward to that, but maybe it's the right thing to do. Maybe you have to forgive someone. And I mean really forgive them. Yeah, you know that forgetting thing that's hard to do? I mean really forgive and forget. Maybe you and I have to build a bridge or two. It can only be better for us, can't it? Because if we just sit here now and go, well, we're nowhere. And we're certainly not doing what God calls us to do. God says this morning, you got to work at this. Strive for peace. In some ways, that's quite practical, isn't it? But the verse runs on and it talks about holiness. Make every effort to live in peace. Yeah, got it. And be holy. Okay. Remember, holy is not necessarily about purity. It's about being set aside. It's about being different for God. It's connected to purity, but it's more than that. Here, holiness is a counterpoint to peace. Yes, keep the peace with one another. Good idea. Definitely do that. But don't give away holiness to do it. Don't give up holiness to keep the peace. Why? Because peace with God is the most important peace you have. Without it, no one will see the Lord. In other words, and this is where we're going to get into a few weeds this morning. All right, we're going to do it together, okay? I don't want you to retreat from me too much. We're going to try and track here with God's word very closely. But what that means is peace cannot be kept with the ungodly unless we approve of their sin. I'm going to say that again. We cannot keep peace with the ungodly unless we approve of their sin. Now, if you're like me, and you probably are, immediately you're feeling the tension of that. There are groups out there that don't want peace from us or understanding. They certainly don't want to hear the truth from us. They just want your approval. And peace with God means we can't give it. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone, but don't forget your peace with God. You are maybe thinking, I know where this is going. We know where this touches us, don't we? It's in the area of sex and marriage. Our cousins across the Atlantic are currently whipped up into a state of frenzy at the moment over the question of gay weddings. Maybe you're not aware of this. It's all over the internet. If you look in the right places, you'll find it. Why is that? Because on Sunday, the 28th of January, not too long ago, the Reverend Dr. Alistair Begg, Alistair's a good fella. I want to say that to start with. I like Alistair a lot. He preached a sermon in which he mentioned that he had advised a grandmother in his church to go to the wedding of her gay grandson. His reason for that was that it keeps the peace. Okay, you hear that? It keeps the peace, and it leaves the doors open for gospel conversations. Some say, good advice. I think that's fine. Others were saying, no, that should never happen, cannot happen, because what it does is it gives approval to sin, and we can't do that. Now, I just said as much a moment ago, didn't I? What did I say to you? Peace cannot be kept with the ungodly unless we approve of their sin. Well, Begg has been discounted, cancelled. He's been withdrawn from speaking engagements because of this advice to someone in his church. Now, as somebody who went to the gay wedding of his sister, I can tell you that I went for a lot of reasons. For the peace and the comfort of my parents, that was important. For the support of my brother, who's also a Christian, that was really important. And because it was my little sister, before she is anything, she is my sister. I sympathize with Begg. I had colleagues who told me, no, you can't go. That's not right. I had others who said, of course you go. It's so tricky, isn't it? Live at peace and be holy. Come on, God. Give me one of those. Give me one of those things to do, but not both. It's tricky. Do you know what? My confession of faith tells me that God alone is the Lord of the conscience. And Ulster people forget this, don't they? God alone is Lord of the conscience. You and I have got to work this stuff out for ourselves in some ways. If you ask my opinion, I'll give it to you. If you want to talk about it in a service, we might do that. Whatever, but we've got to work this out, and we've got to work it out in the context of our relationship with God. If God is clear on something, can we be? Is there courage enough in me, in you, and a long enough view of history for us to maintain our holiness and our relationship with Jesus? Because here's the punchline of the passage and the sermon this morning. If you don't value a relationship with God, then you will give holiness away in a heartbeat. You will trade God for the world without even noticing you've done it. Now, how do I know that for a fact? Because the last part of our passage is all about Esau. See that no one is sexually immoral. There's that purity thing. Or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterwards, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done. That was the story we told to the children. And the reason the author of Hebrews raises it here is because he warns us to keep our eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on Jesus, not the world. Esau gives away everything, his whole future. Why? Because he was hungry. Because he had no thought for God. He wanted what he wanted, and there was no room for God. That is the 21st century sickness. I want what I want. I don't want God. Jesus is the answer. You'll see this differently, I hope. Jesus says, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? The pagans, the world runs after these things. And your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. Do you know, Hebrews would call us to do that seeking together, to keep peace with everyone in the church, and to do that by keeping our peace with God. I think we definitely need to pray about this. Shall we do that? Shall we pray? Lord God, these are really difficult words. They take us in a horrible direction because we feel the tension of choosing the ones we love and care for and choosing you. And of course, Father, no one has loved us or cared for us like you have. Father, we feel so stuck in the middle of these two things. And then you tell us to keep peace, but also be holy, and we are worried about that already. But Father, peace has been declared by the Lord Jesus. We have peace with you because of him. We can strive for peace with one another because of him, and we pray that you would help us in that striving. But that you'd also guard our hearts from the immediate. Father, keep us focused on your Son and the eternity that awaits us, so that we don't have to fear being different. Father, we will not do this on our own. We will chicken out. We will make excuses for ourselves. We will hope it's all going to be okay anyway. And yet you've said this morning, no, that we need to be yours. Without you, without holiness, we cannot see you. Father, we need you this morning to freshen your spirit within us, that he would convict us of the things we know to be true, but also calm our hearts, that we might be the brave of the world who speak the truth in love and have as our best friend the Lord Jesus. Father, we would pledge ourselves to him in a heartbeat, knowing how hard it will be, but we do it for his sake, and we simply pray for your care and your help in his lovely name. Amen.